The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So, television time, Louise Duffy, presenter of Lost in Music here in Today FM, and Gordon Hayden are with us to talk telly issues. And I know I was off a couple of weeks ago, you talked about Friends moving on to Netflix with Susan, but It's extraordinary what has happened. I mean, Friends was available to see nearly 24 hours a day if you had multi-channel platforms. Now it's on Netflix. Suddenly, everyone's a critic because it's sexist, it's homophobic, it's transgender phobic. Who knew?
Well, if you look at actually a lot of the people who are giving out about it, there's a load of tweets. So This whole piece has been cobbled together with a load of tweets and a load of outrage.
Oh, it's a bit silly, isn't it? I just feel like people want to be offended. You know, you have to bear in mind it was made longer than 20 years ago. I think it wrapped up 20 years ago. You know, it was, to a degree, we had different values and we had different, you know, things were different. And if it was made now, you could maybe see why people might have an issue with some of the jokes. But it was 20 years ago, and I think we just need to relax a little bit about it.
Yeah, I just kind of worry as well, like shows that would be still dear to an awful lot of people now, are people going to find them offensive in a few years' time? Mm. Like, take a show like, for example, say The Inbetweeners, and that can be quite...
deliberately offensive, I thought.
But that's what they're going for, and that's the context of the show, but it's done in a sort of a fun way because they're teenagers, so then lo and behold, and what's going to happen in 5 years? I'm a big down with that sort of thing.
Well, we can just write off comedy if we're going to find something like Friends offensive. Also, if you're offended by it, turn it off.
Okay, let's hear a little bit. This is a montage of clips relating to Ross's ex-wife, Carol, who left him for another woman.
You never knew she was a lesbian.
No, okay? Why does everyone keep fixating on that? She didn't know. How should I know?
Sometimes I wish I was a lesbian.
Did I say that out loud?
This was Carol's favorite beer. She always drank it out of the can. I should have known. You know what? I better pass on the game. I think I'm just going to go home and think about my ex-wife and her lesbian lover.
The hell with hockey, let's all do that.
When you put it like that.
Drinking from a can. I didn't realise that.
I never heard that.
We have to be careful what we say now in case we fall into the same trap here.
But you know, the thing is, for the majority of those gags, and that is quite a pointed one there, but the likes of Ross and Chandler, they were always the butt of the jokes, really, weren't they?
That's it.
And that would be a way to sort of defend Friends.
Absolutely. It's possibly more the discomfort of the person rather than, you know, the subject's sexuality, or, you know, they fat shamed Monica a lot, but it's more they didn't do it to her when she was heavy. So I don't know if that excuses
it so
much.
Okay, yeah, because you have some of the tweets about it, right? Actually, 5 white characters. I thought it was 6.
6, yeah, and I've seen that a couple of times too, yeah.
Okay. It's outstanding how much homophobia Friends manages to squeeze into 30 minutes, says one person.
Says Casanova.
Yeah. Another one says, Joey's behaviour towards women and the repeated references to fat Monica have also been challenged. I love Friends deeply, but damn, does it have issues. Fat Monica and Chandler's dad were the worst, aside from everything having to do with my greatest enemy, Ross.
Oh, Ross is my favourite.
Yeah, but there's even issues as well with, you know, with Monica going out with her dad's best friend, mm-hmm. who was 20 years her senior. I know people are saying like that also could be taken in a different light now with the whole Harvey Weinstein case. You kind of go, I think are you looking into that a bit too deeply now?
A little bit, I think, perhaps.
You know, Tom Selleck, remember he was the character in question. You kind of go, but that was a really nice relationship within the show.
Yeah.
How can somebody then sort of looking at that a real dodgy? I don't know. But anyway, look, people can get offended very easily.
Now, listener says, was Friends a comedy series? Curb Your Enthusiasm was a comedy series. Better. But yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, that deliberately went out to cause offence. And even so now, people have taken issue with it that it's gone too far in causing offence.
I love, like Larry David is brilliant. Like, he's the one person on the HBO roster that actually doesn't have a contract. He can come back when anytime he likes. But that, you kind of know what you're getting into with the likes of show like that.
A couple of my teenagers sat down one night and I was watching an old episode of it and they started giving up, what are you watching this? What's this about?
Kurt,
10 minutes later, they were cracking up laughing.
I think it's the best comedy. It's my favourite comedy. Larry David is an utter genius. And it just boils down to, if it's offensive to you, well, then you may need to go and watch something a little bit lighter. But we just can't get up in a heap about everything. Political correctness has to stop somewhere.
So true, actually. And Curb Your Enthusiasm, another thing that people might even realise, that isn't fully scripted. Most of that is improv. Yes. He just has a very basic outline. Okay, this is what the scene will entail. Go for it. Mm-hmm. So what you hear...
God, what does that say about the way he's thinking?
Says an awful lot.
And I'm also thinking as well, because I'm also watching at the moment as well, like I'm back and looking at the old Arrested Development. And again, I mean, that would regard fall into so many stereotypes, been mocked.
They all would. Like, if you're to look even at Frasier and Seinfeld, all of these TV shows, because our awareness was different back when they were created, of course they're going to have a different dialogue and a different way of looking at things.
Actually, talking about comedies, Modern Family is going to end next season. It's on the 9th season and will finish on its 10th.
I think even that's a season too far. That has died a death very, very slowly. I think all of the, you know, started with lots of cute characters, the kids, they've all grown up and it's a little bit awkward. The relationships are a little bit stilted. Like, I watch it, I was a huge fan of it in its earlier seasons. Now, and I want to love it, I can barely raise a smile at any episodes.
I know, it's not that. I mean, it used to be a family occasion for us. We used to love sitting down watching it. It's not the same. It's sort of, oh yeah, we've got a couple of episodes we've got to catch up on now. And they're not, but they're still very sharply written and really good performances.
But you know what? I haven't watched anymore. I think the first, up to maybe the first four seasons, I was fully on board. And then it just sort of became sort of background noise.
Yeah.
I think there's sort of overstretching characters. They're trying to come up with new ways to kind of keep them sort of relevant and keep the comedy going. Yeah, and then they're talking that maybe after season 10, they're going to look at a spin-off.
I can't imagine who would feature in that, unless Phil. I think Phil is the best character, but I don't think he's strong enough to hold his own show either.
No. Funny, talking about comedy as well, Catastrophe was one of my favourites of recent years, Sharon. Although there were times and years, oh my God, that is so close to the bone.
It's too real. It's uncomfortable.
But Sharon Horgan has got a big new deal out of Amazon.
Yeah, this is very exciting for her and so well deserved. She is an exceptional actress, a brilliant creator as well. So behind Catastrophe, as you've mentioned, and also she is the creator of the new HBO series, Divorce, starring Sarah Jessica Parker, which is now running in the second season. I don't know when the air date will be over here. It's brilliant. Anyway, she's been signed up on a personal deal to Amazon. They've been streaming Catastrophe, and also her production company Merman has been signed up. But it's quite interesting because it kind of hurls a new direction for the streaming services like Netflix and Amazon. They're signing the talents like they used to do back in the day, back in the 60s with the big actors. You were signed to a house, and this is what they're starting to do now. So it's great to see this for Sharon Horgan.
Little recommendation for you, just on a quick note. The series that kind of put her on the map in terms as a writer is Pulling, which started on BBC Three, moved to BBC Two. If you want to be offended,
that's one for you.
Another listener says, Brendan and Claire, those poor pretentiously upset folks, and that's not the two of you, obviously, the people we're quoting, wouldn't want to watch Little Britain. They'd explode.
There you go. Come on, have a laugh.
And other people have little to do. It's bloody comedy. Get real. And then another one. There are people who'd now found Glenn Rowe offensive.
Exactly.
Glenn Rowe.
There were things from Glenn Rowe that people would have found politically incorrect.
I'm not going to rewatch it to find out.
Okay, that's actually not a bad idea. Okay, don't rewatch it to find out. Okay. You know, one of my favourite programmes of last year was American Murder Story.
The People versus O.J. Simpson.
American Crime Story. People versus O.J. Simpson was one of the best fun, and it shouldn't be fun in the sense that it was a real life murder story. Yeah. Where they're now doing The Assassination of Gianni Versace, and it airs in the US tonight. When are we going to get to see it over here?
Well, BBC Two have signed it, but we don't have a date for it as of now. But a fascinating story, because this man, he was ahead of one of the biggest fashion houses.
Shot outside his house, wasn't he?
Yeah, on Miami Beach. He was gone to get his coffee. He used to always send his assistant to do so. But that one day in particular, he walked himself, and there was a man across the road at the beach. This man had killed four people previous to this, and 8 days later killed himself, but only after he killed Gianni Versace. Now, the Versace family have completely condemned this. They said it's based on fiction, that it's gossip and it's salacious. But, I mean, I think a lot of people would be watching it. It's a fascinating story.
The only thing when you compare it to, say, the OJ case, the OJ had so many twists and turns in it. Yes. The Versace one, it's one of those, I suppose, to a degree, because an awful lot of people might be so familiar with it, they might be able to hook people in because of what went on behind the scenes. But I don't remember there being too many sort of intriguing aspects to the story.
No, I think that's a good point. It didn't capture the public imagination in the way the OJ did, mainly because of the trial, the OJ trial, which we
all
followed.
True.
It starts with the crime, and then I think it goes back into the lives. So Gianni Versace was outwardly gay, and he lived a lovely life, and he was very comfortable in himself. His murderer was very uncomfortable with his own sexuality. He was gay as well. He lived the complete opposite lifestyle of Gianni Versace, and I think they examined that side of things in this.
There's big hype for a programme that's starting tomorrow night in Sky Atlantic. Britannia. Is this sort of the successor to Game of Thrones?
Oh, they would love that to be that way, Matt. Unfortunately, I don't have much hopes for this at all. I don't know if you both have seen the promo to it, but it's Game of Thrones on a budget. I think it's very cost effective.
Is it also EastEnders from 2000 years ago?
Mind you,
they
do say it's got an all-star stellar cast, and you kind of go, okay, let's
straight
have a look.
Straight out of the Elvec.
Let's see who they've got. And then you kind of go, they've got David Morrissey. Who's he? He starred in Basic Instinct 2.
There you go.
I know he's a great character actor. And then you've got Mackenzie Crook, who was in The Office years ago as Gareth. Like, they're the two big leading lights that are in it. Not the big sort of all-star stellar, you know, cast that
you would be
thinking of. But it doesn't look great, I have to be honest with you, at all. So just for those that are interested in it, it's sort of going to look at the untold, they say, dark and dirty world of Roman Britain. I can't really see myself getting hooked into this. In terms of, if you were to compare it to anything else, you look at, remember BBC's Rome?
Yes.
Like, that was quite celebrated. That was quite successful. I think this will just come and go.
I think it's been compared to the wrong things, like Game of Thrones on a budget. Game of Thrones on a budget. That's it.
All right. Well, what's on tonight, for example, that you'd recommend? Both of you are looking at the same things, which are on at the same time. But of course,
yes,
that's what the old recording box is for.
So there's two things. Mammy's Guilt, which is a lot of people talking about this. The very honest portrayal of domestic life for Karen Koster, who we've known for over a decade on Exposé. Now she's bringing the cameras into her home, introducing them to her two young children, her husband. And it talks about the guilt that mothers now experience juggling having children at home and trying to maintain a career. And it's a very honest portrayal from her. It looks quite good. She's quite emotional in some parts of it, and I think it's going to be very interesting.
But BBC Two has Millionaires' Ex-Wives, a documentary.
Oh yeah, now listen, if you're looking for something very trashy, this is quite interesting. Now the documentary, it follows two ex-wives, and they reveal the lengths that they've gone to in order to get a chunk of cash from their wealthy husbands. Now what may have speared on the filmmaker behind this is that, believe it or not, back in May, I was doing a bit of research, a judge ordered an unnamed city trader to hand over 41.5% of his fortune to his wife. That amounted to $453 million. So that's the huge chunk of change that she walked away with. And so the two ladies that we see tonight, one of them, her ex-husband, he was behind, you remember the man from Del Monte?
That's
him, part
yes.
of that. He was part of the heir to that. And so he has over 300 million. So she talks about how she wasn't happy walking away with only 15 million.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of brings up the question of, are these women gold diggers or are they entitled to the money? And that's a big question, isn't it? Because, you know, perhaps they gave up careers. I'm not sure about these two ladies, but maybe they gave up careers to create a home and to look after children and all of that kind of thing. But it's very interesting. And another woman that it features she settled for 20 million, but hasn't received a penny. And now she lives in a basement flat with her two adult daughters, and it just didn't turn out so well. I think I'm just nosy. It's quite voyeuristic, and I can't wait to watch that one.
Okay, what other things are catching your eye at the moment? There's one actually, the music videos that shaped the 80s, Gordon.
Yes.
I'm from the generation where we grew up with Vincent Handy and MTUSA.
Oh, yes.
Before MTV became it.
I remember that as well,
Two hours on a Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, to see the videos that, to those of us who lived in single channel, it was the last stage, two channel land, never got to see otherwise.
Oh, well, we have to think of it. In the 80s, it was the start of MTV, and if you wanted to have a successful career in the music industry, you had to make videos, whether bands liked it or not, you had to get on board. So some of the ones that they'll be looking at, I think one of the best videos from the 80s is Aha, Take On Me.
Oh, yeah.
Directed by an Irishman, by the way, and the Stephen, oh, what's his surname, who also directed Beat It. As
Michael
well.
Michael Jackson video?
Yeah. So he was behind that. Well, actually, not Beat It. No. Oh, what was the other one he did? Oh, it'll come to me now in a second. But he was one of the top video directors. But I still think a video like Aha, Take On Me still it lasts the test of time. So some of the great ones, of course, then you've got Thriller, which was directed by John Landis, which is almost like a little short film in itself. So we'll be looking back and you'll be looking at the genesis of the music video. And I think to a degree these days, it kind of has fallen short a little bit.
Louise, what else are you looking forward to?
I'm actually going to tell you about something that I watched last weekend. It was on Netflix, and
which means any of us could watch it tonight or any other
night. You can watch it tonight. And the great thing about this is it's an 8-part series. It's only 20 minutes. So, like, you're in before you know it. There are only 20 minutes, no longer than 22 minutes any episode.
And it's called?
The End of the Effing World. I like working here, so I won't say the full word. So anyway, it was aired on Channel 4 last year, and now it has the international release on Netflix. It's a story of a boy meets a girl, but it's a despicable boy meeting a despicable girl, a young guy. He thinks he's a psychopath. He wants to murder somebody. He sets his sights on this girl, and they go on a road trip together. Mm-hmm. It's really dark, but it's really charming. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and, you know, you can watch it in under 3 hours. Really good.
You have another pick for Sunday night on RT2, Frat Boys Inside America's Fraternities. This apparently was first in BBC in 2016.
I just find the whole fraternity, sorority, culture quite interesting. It's very different to the way we went to college in Ireland. But this kind of depicts the darker side of things. I mean, if you're looking at it in a movie and the fraternity culture, it's like a year-long stag party. But this kind of looks at how the culture cultivates cruelty and sexual violence. In the US, 22 people have died in the last couple of years trying to enter fraternities with their hazing rituals. Also, I think the stats are really high for people within fraternities. Well, they're much higher for committing sexual assaults. So it looks at that dark side of things, and I think it's quite fascinating.
Give us your last call as
just
well,
just very
please.
Quickly, Matt. I am Heath Ledger, which is on Sunday night as well, 9 p.m. on Sky Arts. And this is a Hollywood Stars and Friends paying tribute to the late, great Heath Ledger, whose career really got, when you think of him, won the posthumous Oscar for The Joker, and even before he even was cast in that, a lot of people were like up in arms going, oh my God, I can't believe Christopher Nolan is going to cast him as this iconic villain. And look what he did. He manages to take that character and put his own spin on it. He made it more Malcolm McDowell from A Clockwork Orange than anything else. So it's looking at that. There's some really, really heartbreaking behind the scenes footage of him as well in it. So if you are a fan of that man's work and just want to get a better insight into him, that's on this Sunday at 9 p.m.
Okay, we were talking about Friends, we were talking about the People versus O.J. Simpson, as one listener said, whoever would have thought that Ross would have ended up as O.J.'s best friend? Actually, when he played the Kardashian dad, Robert Kardashian, it was one of the weird performances. It was a bit sort of not what you expected ever.
Yeah.
And not as bad now as John Travolta's performance, but anyway.
It's brilliant. I'm looking forward to that. So we, as soon as we have an air date, we'll be stuck on that.
Thank you very much, Louise Duffy. Louise will be back after 7 o'clock with Lost in Music here on Today FM. Gordon Hayden, thank you very much for joining us as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.